It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out Radio Show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard throughout the tri-state area. Listen on the radio at kntrtalk.com and the TuneIn radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When legendary drummer Keith Moon was MIA, who did the Who turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
When the great Pele asked for a sub, who did his World Cup team turn to?
Yo, Paulie!
Now this world-renowned musician slash athlete has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, I mean, could you imagine a twin? Paul Lavoie.
If I had $1 million.
If I had $1 million.
Well, I'd buy you a house. I would buy you a house.
I don't think I'd buy you a house, Brandon. I'm just saying.
They're a little costly right now.
I might buy your family, like, a little dollhouse or something so your daughter can play, right?
Even a casita.
She's kind of past that, though, right?
Yeah, she's 14.
All right. Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Thursday, May 12th, 2022. Music for Sound Advice with Brian Springberg, but obviously Brian Springberg is not here today. We've got Brandon Bowers in the house. He's the editor of the Today's News Herald, and we've got a candidate on the line who's running for U.S. Senate. I'd like to welcome in Blake Masters, and Blake is a Republican, again, running for U.S. Senate. Welcome to the show, Blake.
Hey, thanks so much. Great to be here.
Yeah, and it's great to have you on, and we're going to talk to Brandon a little bit later about the Today's News Herald, KNTR Talk, and Lake Havasu Chamber Lake Havasu Area Chamber of Commerce sponsored candidates forum that we have, what, every couple years?
Every time there's an election.
Every time there's an election. That's right. In Lake Havasu City. So anyway, let's get started, with Blake Masters, and you can kind of follow along on Blake's website. It's blakemasters.com. It's pretty inventive, I would say. And I like on the website where you've got right there, the Masters plan. Kind of go over that with us and, let us know what Blake Masters is all about in this campaign.
Yeah, for sure. Well, look, I think I'm basically running on an agenda that's very similar to President Trump's 2016 MAGA agenda, right? This America First agenda. And so I wrote on my website, we broke it down into three buckets. You know, we need to make America safe again. We'll talk about that. We got to make America prosperous again. And we got to make America free again. And so those are the three buckets. Just to talk about safety, you know, President Trump knew that law and order starts at the southern border. He promised to build the wall. He got so much of it done. And it was working. It was working. Situation wasn't perfect, maybe in September of 2020, but man, it was pretty darn good relative to what we have now, which is just open borders madness. And so look, I think the correct amount of illegal immigration is zero. I know we gotta finish President Trump's border wall. I want to triple at least the size of the border patrol. And we got to put technology on that border, right? Infrared cameras, drones. I want to map every inch of that border so that we know who's trying to come across, and we can drive crossings down to zero. Okay, so it's to secure the border. It's just that simple. But of course, the crime at the southern border doesn't stop there. It goes north. And in Tucson, homicides up 87%. In Phoenix, homicides up 50%. Hopefully you're not, you know, seeing that so much up here, but it's just this anti-police culture that Joe Biden and his administration are giving us. And so we got to support the police every which way. You know, in the Senate, I want to investigate the Soros-funded DAs. How is he able to get all these DAs in these towns that don't want to arrest anybody? You know, I think the left is just completely upending law and order in this country. And it's, they've made this country very dangerous very quickly. I have a huge problem with that.
So it turns out now that big tech may be complicit in a lot of these human, the human smuggling, the drugs coming over the border, and that they're allowing these organizations, these cartels, to post on social media and recruit people for $2,000 and up to bring people and drugs over the border. What is your solution to something like that? Governor Ducey has already written a letter to Big Tech addressing this issue. I guess it happened yesterday or sometime this week that letter went out. But what would be your solution to something like that?
Well, I think you got to do more than a letter. I think the big tech companies, they need to be regulated. Look, I come at things from a generally pro-business, free market perspective, but it doesn't mean that you need to treat Facebook and Google like a local bakery or a hair salon. Okay, these are fundamentally different kinds of businesses. They're giant monopolies. They're left-wing, and way too often, they just work with the Biden administration. They carry water for the Democrats' agenda. Right now, the Democrats have an open borders agenda, and so I'm actually not shocked to hear that, yeah, big tech isn't doing enough to combat, criminal narco trafficking and human trafficking, on their platforms. I think you gotta get smart young leaders in Congress, like me, frankly, who understand technology. You know, I spent the first part of my career in Silicon Valley. I know these big tech companies really well. I know the harms that they perpetrate. Like, I'm pretty sure that Google and Facebook more or less delivered the election for Joe Biden. You know, I think we had an unfair and unfree election in many respects. But one of the ways was big tech had their thumb on the scale. And so I'm tired of people just complaining about it. We actually have to do something about it. I think at the border, you've got to seal the border, right? But then if big tech is contributing to the problem by empowering the cartels, let's designate the cartels as terrorist organizations, and let's write laws that really, really restrict big tech's ability to help these organizations.
That's a great answer here, Brandon. I thought I would surprise him with something that's happened just recently, and definitely prepared with that answer. Again, we're talking to Blake Masters. He is a Republican U.S. Senate candidate here in Arizona. If you have a question for Blake, give us a call. He's on the guest line. Call our on-air line. It's 928-854-5687. And you talked about the three planks of safe, prosperous, and free. How do you make America more prosperous? And what is the incumbent, Kelly, doing about these things right now?
Well, I think we got to get back to President Trump's America First economic policies, which were working. You know, people forget this, but right before the COVID pandemic, you know, there was something of an economic miracle happening in this country. Things were looking up. Things were booming. Median wages, that's the amount of money that the average American worker actually takes home, they were rising for the first time in decades. And, of course, now under Biden-Harris, all those gains are gone. We have this horrible, almost crippling inflation, a supply chain crisis, and they want to raise taxes more. They want to print trillions of dollars more. Just yesterday, right, the House voted to send $40 billion to Ukraine, which just adds insult to injury. It's this America last agenda. And so we can do a lot of things. We can get energy independence back. You know, we were energy independent in the tail end of the Trump administration. That is critical. It's great for our economy. It's a national security imperative. But, of course, Biden just signs it away. You know, we need to make things here in this country. We can't rely on Southeast Asia to make all the computer chips. We got to be making that stuff right here at home. I want more semiconductor fabs here in Arizona. We need to be producing these things ourselves. If we recalibrate and get back to what was working under President Trump, that's a pro-business, pro-worker, pro-family economy. We're in a tough spot right now, but I really think in just a few years, things could be looking so much better. But you got to get the right people in office pursuing the right policies.
Right, right. And you mentioned Ukraine. Is that to say that you're not in support of the people of eastern Ukraine?
No, and the media always tries to trick you, or they try to say, oh, it's pro-Putin not to want to send money to Ukraine. I condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I think Putin's a bad guy. Okay, I think this invasion was murderous. And I applaud the people of Ukraine for wanting to fight and defend their country. I also have to note, Ukraine is not America's ally. and Russia is not America's enemy. We're not at war with Russia, although it appears that the foreign policy establishment wants us to go to war with Russia, right? And so I have a problem when Americans are suffering with sending $40 billion. It's not like we have $40 billion to send, mm-hmm. right? They're just going to print the money. It's going to cause more inflation. But sending $40 billion to Ukraine to fight a proxy war with Russia that might escalate. And if it escalates, you know, you could risk a nuclear exchange between nuclear powers. That's World War III. That's really bad. I think we should be allowed to say that. But to send $40 billion to Ukraine, when, remember, the Democrats said $8 billion for a border wall with Mexico was too expensive, I think that's a radical misprioritization. I think it's an America last policy.
Blake, where are you at in the current polling right now? I know this is a crowded field for U.S. Senate on the Republican side, and of course you have the Democrat Mark Kelly, who is the incumbent, but on the Republican side it's a pretty crowded field. Where do polls show you right now, at least the credible polls?
Yeah, it's a tight race. You know, I think there's three viable candidates at this point. It's myself, it's Attorney General Mark Brnovich, and it's this wealthy businessman, solar energy executive Jim Lehman. And the credible polls, the independent polls, are showing it pretty tight. I think Trafalgar has it 24-24-19, you know, with a margin of error of 3 or 4. So I'm right there within striking distance at 19. We had another poll from Signal, which is a pretty good pollster, that showed 19-19-19, a statistical tie, a dead heat. And so I think people are starting to pay attention now. You know, pretty soon I'll put my TV ads up on the air and, you know, let's see what President Trump does. He's yet to make an endorsement in the race. I'm hopeful and, dare I say, optimistic that, that he'll choose to endorse me. And I think I'm on track to win this thing. Our primary is on August 2nd. And I think the left knows that I'm the candidate who can beat Mark Kelly, which is why they're focusing all of their ammo, on hit pieces on me.
Right. So you mentioned television and potential advertising on television or future advertising before the primary on August 2nd. And of course, money has been mentioned as the mother's milk of politics. How is it going in the fundraising arena?
I am happy to report that I'm out fundraising all of my competitors. You know, I wish money weren't so important in politics, but the honest truth is it is. It's not the only important thing, but you got to be able to fundraise. I'm out fundraising Brnovich and Jim Lehman by quite a bit, frankly, which it should never be possible for a first-time political outsider like me to be outraising the eighth-year attorney general.
Right.
But I'm working harder at it, and it's working. Now, Jim doesn't need to fundraise because he's really rich. He's put $13 million of his own money in the race so far. But he doesn't have enough money to run against Mark Kelly. Okay, and so that's why the fundraising muscle that I've been exercising, that's going to be really important, because as soon as I win in August, we've only got 2.5-3 months until November, and I've got to raise $30-50 million. Right? I've just got to be a maniac in order to have the money to get the TV ads to compete against Mark Kelly. But I'm the only candidate who's shown fundraising prowess, and that's going to come in really handy this fall to go toe to toe with Mark Kelly and then kick him out.
So Blake, you're currently in Mojave County, is that right?
That's right. I'm right here in Kingman.
You're in Kingman. Do you plan on making a stop in Bullhead City as well?
I was in Bullhead yesterday. Absolutely. And I love it up here. Mojave County, it's a gem, and it would that every county in Arizona was as ruby red as Mojave County. I love the people, and I'm going to spend a lot more time up here, especially after I'm in office. I think it's too easy for elected officials to come here on a campaign stop and then never show up again. And I think everybody who's met me up here knows that's not going to be the case with me. I will be back.
Well, if every county was this ruby red, we wouldn't be calling Arizona purple at this point. So how have the people of Mojave County received you, and what are their main concerns right now as you talk to people here in the county on the campaign trail?
You know, everybody I think the reception has been fantastic. And people, I think, see that I'm for real. I'm honest. I speak from the heart. And that's so rare today in politics. You know, we all know what the top issues are. There's border security and the crazy open borders that Biden is pursuing. That's election integrity. You know, I talk about that, every single day. everybody's got concerns about what happened in 2020, and it's easy to see why, right? This 2,000 Mules movie just came out, where you literally see videos of these mules, these ballot harvesters stuffing mailboxes full of ballots. It's just illegal activity, but of course the establishment, the experts, so-called, they want to say this was the most perfect election of all time, when at a minimum it very obviously wasn't. But I'd say zooming way out, you know, when I talk to people up here, they just, I mean, they're paying attention. They really know that things are not working, that Biden and Harris are delivering nothing but crisis after crisis. And everybody's, you know, it's fearful because we're losing the country, and everybody knows this is a dangerous time that we're living in. It's sad, but we're living in this period of American decline, and it's gotten way worse, way quicker than a lot of people thought. But I also see a lot of hope and optimism. I was just at a meet and greet in Kingman, and this woman told me, you know, I have to have the faith, Blake. I think, you know, things got so bad, and it's really scary, but I'm encouraged because it's waking people up. It's waking people up. God willing, we're going to have a red wave and get the right candidates into office here in 2022 and 2024. And so that's the silver lining. It's really bad right now, but I think we all need to have faith, work as hard as we can, and it's not over yet. I think we can save this country. I think we can take it back and make it better than ever.
Right. You mentioned Dinesh D'Souza, and I was mentioning to somebody the other day, I'm kind of counting the days when he's faced with another tax evasion indictment, if you know what I mean. So,
oh, they'll come after him hard now.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. All right. We're talking with Blake Masters. He's a Republican U.S. Senate candidate from here in Arizona. He's calling us from Kingman. And we've got Brandon Bowers in the studio, the editor of Today's News Herald and HavasuNews.com, right?
That's
one of
right.
our news partners. All right. Back with more in a moment. We're going to take a short break and come back on the other end on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy.
Up and down this road, up and down this road. Well, she knowed he had a Mercury, and she cruised up and down this road.
All right, we're back on Speak Out. A little George Thorogood. And Brandon's about, you're like one of the only people that keeps your hair just about as, you know, neat as I do. Is there product in there, too?
There's a little gel, but it's just so gray that I've got to do something with it.
It's all about product, man. I'm a Paul Mitchell guy myself. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage, also Patio Paradise, SamsGuns.com, Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford, and Springberg Wealth Management. Don't forget, we stream live, and our show archives are at KNTRTalk.com. The archives are also available on the Lake Havasu City app, and that's available at the Google Play and Apple iStore. You can get, if you can't find the show you want on our archives on the website, just go to the Lake Havasu City app. They go way back to like October or something. Whenever they started hosting them on SoundCloud, that's how far back the archives go on the app. So, yeah. Nice to have partners in the business, right? Like the Today's News Herald, for sure. For Radio Central News. We surely appreciate that. All right, back on the show with Blake Masters, the Republican U.S. Senate candidate. He's in Kingman today, meeting with folks up there. Where exactly are you meeting with people today? Is there an organized meet and greet?
Yep, we had an organized meet and greet this morning. That was at Calico's, I believe.
Oh, right.
And, you know, now I'm outside the bashes here, just sort of pacing around on the phone with you. Next, I think I'm headed to Rickety Cricket Brewing.
Oh, nice. Nice. Sounds like you talk on the phone like I do. You pace back and forth?
Got to walk on the phone, absolutely.
That's right. Get those steps in while you're on the phone, right?
Walk and talk.
The walk and talk, perfect. All right, so let's talk about that third bucket, the freedom bucket that you mentioned earlier. How do we? I don't want to sound rhetorical with this question, but how do we make freedom better in this country?
Yeah, well, we got to recognize we're under assault, right? I really think the just look at what they're doing. The far left is hell-bent on destroying our rights. We're almost being hit from every angle. On the free speech front, you know, it's like the Democrats don't believe in the First Amendment anymore. They believe that they and their big tech, you know, conspirators have the right to censor us, to cancel us, to suppress our viewpoints because they violate their narrative. Look at the, you know, the disinformation governing board now at the Department of Homeland Security. I mean, this is straight out of George Orwell. This is the Ministry of Truth. And I got a problem with that, you know. We care about free speech. I don't want to censor AOC. Let her say dumb stuff on Twitter. You know, it helps us, actually, because we win. Conservatives win when there's a fair fight, when we can get our version told. Our arguments are just much better. And so we got to be free speech. We also have to protect our Second Amendment. You know, we have a U.S. senator right now, Mark Kelly, who's a gun grabber. He nominated, he put up member David Chipman for ATF, and that guy's a radical gun grabber. Arizonans are not okay with that. We can never let the left take away our gun rights, and that's what they want to do because they want us to be like Australia. They want us to be like Canada. They want to be able to control us, and I think the Second Amendment is the amendment that protects all the others. You know, it's not about duck hunting. It's about protecting yourself and your family and right. your community and ultimately your country. It's about defending against tyranny. Just yesterday, the Senate almost passed a codification of Roe versus Wade. Every Democrat senator except Joe Manchin voted for this. This bill would have legalized abortion nationwide up until the moment of birth. Okay, and that's what the Democrats are doing. Well, I got a problem with that. I am unapologetically pro-life. I believe we need to defend and protect the unborn and the vulnerable. And 90% of people agree with us that partial birth abortion, right, super late term abortion on demand, is ghastly. It should not be allowed, but that's what the Democrats want to do. They shut down churches, right? They're just obsessed with taking away our constitutional rights. And it's not enough to play defense anymore. Because if you only ever play defense and they play offense, they win. And our rights get eroded slowly, and then boom, suddenly they're gone. And so I think we need new generation of leaders, a new generation of Republicans in office that knows what time it is, that knows that we need to play offense. It's not just about defending our rights. It's about taking back ground from the progressive left so that our children and our grandchildren can have more rights than we currently enjoy. Not less.
Right. I just have one more topic to discuss, and it's that bright, shiny object that has been pulled out by a leaked brief, of course, from the U.S. Supreme Court, and you mentioned the pro-life stand that you have. But how much is that going to play a factor in this next election, not in the primary so much as the general?
Well, it's all the Democrats have. They think it's a good argument. They think that they'll just be able to say, oh, Blake is sexist and doesn't want women to have health care. No, I obviously want women to have health care, okay? And the thing is, abortion, especially late-term abortion, is not health care. It's not. There are two lives at issue. There's the mother's life, and of course the mother has rights, but there's also the baby's life. And I think, you know, people will disagree super early on. You know, I'm Catholic. I believe life starts at conception. I appreciate that people of different religious backgrounds and whatnot will have different views super early on. But again, we're talking about the Democrats being obsessed with the right to kill babies that are 24 weeks old, that are fully formed human beings. And I just have a problem with that. And so, look, I think Arizona is a pro-life state. I think this country is a pro-life country. People of good conscience know that late-term abortion, at a minimum, should not be allowed. And if Mark Kelly wants to run on a platform of the unlimited so-called right to kill children, in the utero before they've had a chance to take their first breath. Good luck to them, because I don't think that's going to work out so well.
Right. I don't use the term pro-choice. I use the term pro-abortion, and Mark Kelly has proven over and over and over again that he is pro-abortion. But I'd like to thank you for being on the show, Blake Masters. He's a Republican for U.S. Senate here in Arizona. Safe travels, and thanks for joining us on Speak Out.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Take care.
All right. And nice conversation, right? A lot of issues that he's, I mean, he's right up on it.
He had his list of topics.
Right.
Yeah.
I have to admit, I knew very little about Blake Masters before this interview, and it was intentional that way. I wanted to go in with the fresh, you know, a fresh take. I know I've heard Mark Brnovich many, many, many times, you know, with Sean Hannity. I know who Mark Kelly is. Jim Lehman, a little bit, not so much, but Blake Masters, not really at all. But now, you know, I really respect what he stands for.
Well, it's good you got into the pro-life argument. He's gotten into some attention recently with his comments about pro-life and the abortion issue, and he's getting some. There was a Vanity Fair article that talked about his statements on Twitter against the Arizona Mirror, and so I'm glad to hear him talk about that here.
Right. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more politics when we come back. You can join us as well, 928-854-KNTR, 928-854-5687. I'm with Brandon Bowers, the editor of today's News Herald, and I'm going to tell you about an event when we come back that is this Friday at 1 p.m. that involves veterans and a group called Echo Vets or echovets.org, and it's the Vet Center here in Lake Havasu City. Back with more in a moment. Stay with us on Speak Out. I'm Paul LaVoy.
I'm taking out the trash and I'm sweeping my floor. I'm crossing my fingers.
To ask you, Brandon, what kind of music you like, but
I like
the country's okay.
Country's fine.
I love this song. It's a great song. So, all right. Speak Out brought to you in part by Horizon Community Bank, also Mojave Community College, GDK LLC, SunPower by Esme Electric, Herb's Herbs, and by the Lewis team, Remax by the Lake, with team leader Bobby Lewis and Julie Lewis. And don't forget, folks, if you're going to go out there, go shopping online, just shop local first, right? That's what we do here. We shop local, we dine local.
We need people to shop local.
Right. We buy gas local. We do everything local. And that's why those sales tax revenues are where they're at, right?
Through the roof.
Through the roof. Not only because of prices, but because, you know, we were open during the pandemic. Like those signs said from the chamber, we're open. Did you guys have that at the paper?
I don't know if we had a sign up.
Yeah, they put all these signs all over town.
Yeah,
said, we're open,
them, yeah.
We're open. It was pretty cool. All right, so I promised to talk about this, and Stacy Lee from the Vet Center, or from the Band of Brothers, echovets.org, they're doing a Vet Center May Social Hour, and that is this Friday at 1 p.m., and you're going to want to go to 1720 Mesquite Suite 101 here in Lake Havasu City, or contact Stacy Lee at 805-757-8223 for more information and how to get yourself on one of their softball teams. They're looking at healing through forming softball teams and other activities as part of the very important 22-a-day initiative. You remember that, don't you, Brandon? The 22-a-day, and it was all about PTSD and how it was taking the lives of a lot of vets through suicide. And that organization is helping to fight that. So that's this Friday, social hour, 1 p.m. at the Vet Center here in Lake Havasu City. And we're working on getting Stacy on the show possibly next week, because Brian's not going to be here next week either. Now, other housekeeping. I've got a new best friend. I showed you this shirt, right? Patrick Boffman, who's been on the show. He was on with Ron Gould, if you remember. Patrick stopped by yesterday and gave us all here at the station T-shirts. He's known as the Hammer in the MMA world. And this is the guy that says, you know, take off those masks, America, right? The one on the AAE.com. It's Against All Enemies is the name of the gun store. And there's sponsors on the back. And now if I wear this, you'll see his face right there on the front of the shirt, it's Patrick Boffman, the Hammer. So he's my new best friend today, by the way. So I told Patrick I'd mention that during the show today. And the Suns return to action tonight, 6:30 against the Dallas Mavericks. It's game six. They can close it out tonight. The Suns can, right in front of Mark Cuban. I would love to see that. I'll tell you what. I don't know if you're an NBA fan at all.
No, you know, I'm 5'6", so I never really got into basketball.
You're 5'6", I'm 5'7". Yeah, right, right. And I wasn't much of a shooting guard, so there you go. That's kind of why I played soccer and ran track. But anyway, Suns at Mavericks tonight. Let's wrap this up. It's a 6:30 tip-off, and they can go home on that plane ride after putting it in Mark Cuban's face. That would be amazing. Diamondbacks and Cubs this weekend. The weekend series starts tomorrow at 6:40 p.m., and we've given away all the tickets that we had available for that series. Of course, the D-backs and Cubs, a very popular series for everybody. So if Game 7 is needed for the Suns and Mavs, that'll be on Sunday. We do not have a start time as of yet. And the bad news for the D-backs, they have to go to L.A. on Monday. You follow baseball.
I do.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know that from your social media
posts. I came here as a Giants fan, so I've adopted the Diamondbacks, gone to a few games.
Yeah?
Yeah. Grew up with the Bay Area teams.
Oh, so are you Niners or Raiders?
Oh, Niners.
Niners.
I've been to a Raiders game, but
Niners. So you're a classy fan, is
that
right?
Yeah.
I can't really say that, right? I'm a homer. What can I say?
My boss is a Raiders fan, so I should be careful.
I'm a Cardinals fan. Got on the Cardinals shirt today. So anyway, we've got an event planned like we do every couple of years, the Candidates Forum, brought to you by KNTR Talk, Today's News Herald, and Lake Havasu Area Chamber. And I'll let Brandon tell you a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're doing a election forum again, June 29th. It's a Wednesday, 6 p.m. at the Lake Havasu High School Performing Arts Center. It's a better venue than we've done it in the past. I should say bigger, not better, but it'll fit a lot more people, and that's important because that's been a sellout event in the past.
Right, but it's normally at the Grace Arts Live.
Yeah,
right?
And it's been standing room only for the past couple of events we've done. So we'll get more people in this way, get to spend more time with them too.
Now, there's some, normally in the past we had questions from folks, right? But not out of the audience itself. How does all that work?
We've requested questions to be sent to us via email, and that can be done at election@havasunews.com. If you email the question there, we should be able to get it. If for some reason that bounces back, of course, you can just email me too. That's editor@havasunews.com. But either of those addresses should be fine. We're collecting the questions. We'll come up with some of our own as a group. That group is us, Radio Central, and the Chamber of Commerce, of course. And we will have plenty of questions to ask these candidates. There's six of them running for council.
Interesting. Really interesting. Now, what about, we talked to Lisa Krueger about this yesterday. What about Mayor Sheehy? Is he going to be invited? Because
he's been invited. He'll be there.
Technically, he's unopposed.
Yeah. So we'll give him a chance to talk. We'll ask him some questions. He is unopposed. There's a write-in candidate in that race, Frankie Lyons.
Is she verified, by the way?
She's yes. I actually don't know that for sure.
You have to be verified by the city clerk's office as a write-in, right?
She's a write-in candidate, so she's done whatever she needs to do to make that happen. But she won't be on the ballot, and we've invited her to go ahead and be in the lobby area to pass out her literature.
Oh, okay. Yeah, meet and greet. Right.
Historically not allowed writing candidates to participate because, you know, in some races there tend to be a lot of them.
Okay.
And that can get pretty unwieldy.
So what's the format for this? So candidates, you take them obviously one at a time, right?
No. The races are one at a time. This time we get to focus a lot more on the city council election since that's the only real contested race. But We invite all the candidates up there, and so in this case there will be six candidates up there at a table. We will ask them all the same questions and give them each an opportunity to respond and to respond to each other.
Well, LD30 is pretty crowded, though, you know, for the on the legislative level anyway, for State House. So you've got the incumbent, Leo Biasucci, and then you've got Donna McCoy, and then there's two or three others, right, from one's from Wickenburg.
That's right. I don't recall all their names. I'm going to
right, right. I don't recall
here.
All their names either.
Yeah. But yeah, that's another crowded race. But this, again, there's not so many races this time around that we can't spend some time with these candidates and really get to know them. And that's the exciting thing about this event. You tend to read a lot about their names in the paper, the statements they've made, their social medias, but this gives you a chance to really get up and close and personal with them, and even talk to them personally after the event, because it's such a personal experience.
Right. You know, I need to ask you, because you've been doing this, I don't know when you started, probably, what, 2010?
Here, 2014.
Was it 2014? Yeah. I thought you did it in 2010 also.
No, I came to Havasu in 2014.
Oh, it was somebody else then.
Yeah, I don't know.
Interesting. So why do you do this?
Why do we do the forum?
No, why do you personally? What is your interest in the forum?
Well, somebody told me I had to do it a long time ago.
That's
and
not
we just
it.
Kept doing
I
it.
I know
but
better
no,
than
no,
that.
It's important. It's an important event. It really, you know, I think from a newspaper's perspective, we want to give people all the information they need to make an informed decision. That's, you know, local newspapers are interested in their community developing and growing in the right way. This is an event that allows us to further that mission. We can put the candidates in front of people and maybe step out of the way as a filter so much, because newspaper can provide a lot of information, but it also acts as a filter. And so this is a way for us to step out of the way, let people see for themselves, and really make an informed decision.
This is a very politically charged community, too. I mean, it is very conservative,
yes.
Obviously. You come from Northern California, though.
Yes.
Which was probably the other side. Was that also pretty highly charged, or
no,
was there
is,
more apathy?
Yeah, more apathy. This
really?
Is more politically charged than any community I've been in. I was also in New Mexico for a couple of years. The place I was in Northern California was a little couple of towns in the Central Valley. Tends to be more conservative there by California standards.
Right.
Probably 50% Republican,
right.
50% Democrat. Very agricultural focused, but just a lot of apathy. Not a whole lot of thought that a local decision can really make a difference. It's all handled in Sacramento or even worse, Los Angeles.
Dr. Maria from the college, Maria Ione, actually comes from that area.
Yes.
She's from McFarland.
Yeah.
Did you find that surprising?
I did. I actually contacted her when I learned that, and I said, hey, welcome to the town from another Central Valley guy. She's from the complete opposite end of the valley than I am, but there's a lot of similarities.
Right, right. And, of course, the movie made with Kevin Costner about that area and the cross-country success they've had. So, all right. Anyway, for more information about the candidates forum, again, that's on June 29th, 6 p.m. at the Havasu Performing Arts Center. That's on the campus of the high school,
yes.
Correct? Okay. And then what do you think you'll have room for? How many people?
I think we had room for something like 200 at Grace Arts, so I know more than that.
Right,
a lot
right.
more than that. I don't know what the number is.
Should be a lot cooler.
Cooler. That too. Stage gets hot.
Inside.
So
yes.
You've been up there with me. That stage gets very hot, even when you just wear a short sleeve button down, you're up there sweating. So this is a more air conditioned space, I'm told.
I used to sweat during the national anthem. So that's just how that works. So, all right, how many years have you been in the newspaper business?
Oh, geez. I started at the age of 16 as a newsroom clerk. So it's about 22, 23 years. I'm 42 now. I've been doing it since then in various capacities. I've been an editor since 2002.
Right, right. You find Havasu is a great place to raise a family. I see your family in a lot of posts on social media.
Yeah, this is a great family town. It really is. My oldest is now a high schooler, but she was 7 years old when we moved here, and we knew it was a good town when we moved here. She instantly found some friends, and just we felt that support around her in a way that wasn't true elsewhere.
You say she's now a high schooler?
Yeah.
She's just entering high school?
She's a freshman. She's wrapping up her freshman year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any activities that she's involved in that you get to enjoy as well?
Oh, my gosh. She's been involved in so much, but she's really gotten into basketball. She's on the freshman basketball team.
There
you
go.
It's been fun to watch, go to all the home games, and she's even joined a little traveling team. So we've made a lot of trips to Vegas recently to go watch her play.
She's on a travel team. She must have some talent.
Well, it's developing. You know, it's nothing that she grew up with, so she's a fairly late comer.
Right.
But she loves it, and that's what counts. It's fun to watch her because she loves it.
Well, she obviously didn't get the basketball talent from you,
Not
though.
From me. No. I mean, it's fun to go out there and play with her, but she can show me up.
Right, right, right. Are there any, you know, let's get back to the candidates forum a little bit, but are there any Democratic candidates that are invited to this?
We've invited everybody. The one we may see is in the congressional race. I believe we've invited Delina DeSanto.
Oh, right.
In the congressional
perennial
race.
Candidate,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I
she's
called him.
Run quite a bit.
Like Danny Tarkanian over in Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah, the perennial candidate.
And really, you've got to respect the people in the minority parties because the Republican Party is so strong here. But to see the same people come out and run, even though they know there's very little chance of having success in a minority party, in Mojave County.
Right.
So I respect that they get up there and put their issues forward.
It's an uphill climb, but I mean, frankly, if there is a year that you're going to run against Paul Gosar, I think it would be this year.
Paul Gosar's got a lot of competition on his own side, and we haven't seen that before.
He's also got a lot of baggage from the past couple of years.
A lot of baggage, a lot of criticism from some recent comments and things that he's done.
Right.
So he's elected not to participate in this forum, as far as I know. That may change. He says he'll be in Washington at that time, so he won't be there, but some of his competitors should be.
So we talked off the air during the break after we spoke with Blake Masters about the Trump endorsement. That hasn't come in that race yet, has it?
No. I think Blake Masters is trying to seek that endorsement pretty hard. I think that's fairly obvious. But it has not come yet. I do know that Trump participated in Blake Masters' event, a week ago. So I wouldn't be surprised to see an endorsement coming, but it's not there yet, and I think any of those three candidates would be happy to have it.
Right. I don't know if you saw in the state coverage anyway of Carrie Lake's stance on abortion. Were you surprised? I was really surprised.
No, in fact, I don't know what her stance on abortion is.
She's pro life.
Okay.
Very pro life.
Yeah.
She's almost like, well, you know, it's here, it's a necessary evil, but as governor, she would push forward any legislation to make abortion very difficult to obtain in the state of Arizona.
Yeah.
I was very surprised. Normally they walk a fine line. You know, no. She went full on.
It's interesting how that debate has changed because, you know, in the past, every candidate has had abortion on their platform for or against. It's never really mattered at this level because it was such a federal decision. Now, it being kicked back to the states, if that happens,
right,
it becomes much more relevant at the state level. So
right.
I'm really interested to hear what they have to say.
Yeah, to me, it's like I said earlier, it's the bright, shiny object.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it is the appeal of the Mississippi law. And somebody said Missouri in an interview, but it's actually the Mississippi law. And It's going to be the test of this 15-week argument is what's going to happen. I don't think you're going to see, you know, 90 days or 3 months anymore if it's overturned. But I just don't see abortion going away. Does that make sense?
I don't think it will.
But I don't think the state of Utah, for example, should have to, you know, accommodate Planned Parenthood if they don't want to. You know, I believe in states' rights. So.
It's going to come down to the states' rights question again. The argument there, of course, that we're seeing now is what other states' rights issues may come up as a result of this. And I don't know. That'll be an interesting thing to see develop as well.
Yeah, right. Okay, on the presidential side, mm-hmm. All right, we're looking ahead a couple of years. You and I, we always talk politics when we're together. It's really strange. But for president. You know, I don't know. I mean, people, there are a lot of Trump supporters out there, but I don't know if Trump would be the wisest candidate to put out there for the Republicans just because of, you know, it seems like we need to let it go as far as what's happened in the past. Let's look to the future.
You know, it's a little dangerous to say Mojave County because if any area has embraced Trump, it's Mojave County. But I do think, Trump is so divisive, and there's been so much baggage there. I don't think that goes very well if he gets back in the race. I think it's probably another candidate is going to have a better chance.
Yeah, and for me, I've always said this, that it's all about getting the swing voter.
Right.
Because you know the Republicans who they're going to vote for. You know who the Democrats are going to vote for. But who are the independents going to vote for, right? I think DeSantis or Nikki Haley or one of those types of candidates has a better chance of getting the swing voter than President Trump does.
You're seeing something of a surge around DeSantis. I will be very surprised if he's not the nominee. But it's still early. I don't know.
Oh, man, you still have primaries to go
yeah.
through. So there's a lot of race that's left in the race for 2024, right? Well, this goes pretty fast. Speaking of races, right?
Yeah.
All right. Brandon Bauer's our guest. He is the editor at Today's News Herald. Where can people reach you if they want more information about the candidates forum?
Well, they can email editor@havisonnews.com. They can, of course, come into the News Herald anytime they want. We're at 2225 West Tacoma, but email's probably the best bet.
All right, perfect. Thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Awesome. All right, back with more in a moment, and thanks for your news partnership as well.
Oh, we appreciate it.
Helping us put out, you know, Radio Central News Network material.
Yeah.
Which goes all over, as you know. All right, back with more in a moment. Stay with us. I'm Paul Lavoie.
She'll start by kicking out of her shoes, losing the earring in her grave. Leave her jacket in the bathroom stall.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. I need to tell you about something going on at the Blue Water Resort and Casino in Parker. The Career Expo, another Career Expo, this Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And actually, that's at the Lake Havasu City Aquatic Center, but it's provided by Blue Water Resort and Casino. And free lunch and snacks provided to all attendees. Again, at the Lake Havasu City Aquatic Center, the Blue Water Resort and Casino Career Expo, this Saturday, and there is a $2,000 loyalty retention bonus, and they're hiring full and part-time positions. All right, on tomorrow's show, going to be a good one, District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould. More and more people talking about that Gould giveback of $165, and I'm talking to more and more people who have applied for it. So, very popular gesture or program or move by District 5 County Supervisor Ron Gould, and the constituents, from what I can tell, really appreciate it. All right, we'll talk to Ron tomorrow. Up next, Sean Hannity, Karate Man himself, after news and a short break. You guys have a great day.
Heard on 106.7 FM and 106.3, the voice of the free.